Yes, speaking of money, JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
A lesson in how to do it in tough times. Come on in, Briscoes.
Yeah, I reckon. These guys never sort of failed to deliver in terms of retailing expertise. This is Briscoe Group. Yesterday, they announced their sales to 31 July 2022. So we get a little window into retailing in New Zealand. At the same time, we get sort of a window into the state of play of New Zealand consumers as well. So sales for the 13-week second quarter came in at 191.7 million. That's just under 4%. Higher than the 185 million achieved in the comparable quarter last year. But Mike, you have to say, it's really tough to make these comparisons in retail at the moment because of the whole impact of COVID disruptions over the last 12 months, with the country moving in and out of various states of restriction and infection. So actually it's helpful, I think, and insightful to look at compare it to a non-disrupted period. So go back to pre-COVID 2019. This six-month period that Briscoes have just had is 21% higher than the comparable period in 2019. In other words, that is a very good outcome. And the company points to there were some pretty significant issues that they faced in the first 6 months of the year as well. And I think this is also insightful as we start to move into our reporting season. There was the impact of the Omicron outbreak, less foot traffic, people just not going out. Also, they talk about the negativity surrounding consumer sentiment, which has been very prevalent in the second quarter of the year. They also talk about the supply chain disruptions and their decision to hold more inventory. Now, we've talked about that in the US context, about in the US space as well. For Briscoes, they said this was beneficial for sales because they had stuff there that they could sell. Interesting, Mike, they talk about the pressure on profit margins. Now, this is happening because of supply chain disruptions, the lower New Zealand dollar, which obviously makes imported goods more expensive, and the general decline in retail market conditions. But what I thought was interesting here is they didn't mention wage costs. So the wage costs are not mentioned in their statement as affecting their profit margin. Now, their first half profit is slightly lower, although sales are up because of that margin problem. First half profit is slightly lower than last year's first half profit, but they think the conditions, profit, etc., will improve in the second half of the year. So that's encouraging for the sector, share price steady.
Well, I hope they're right. Did you see the Australian trade surplus?
Oh, Mom. So look. Yes, I did, and it's pretty amazing. So I'm going to weave this into also what's happening around reporting season. So we're just coming to the end of the US reporting season, and as that winds down, we're going to start getting our local, so the Australasian reporting season is going to ramp up. Now, the Australian company experience should have more compatibility with conditions here than maybe the US does. Going into it, though, there are some very issues that are very specific to Australia, and then there's going to be some all too familiar themes. Now, on the specific side, this is where that trade surplus comes in, Mike. There's uncertainty over demand globally for all the stuff that they dig out of the ground. So this is the mining sector and the company sector. And, of course, this is the day after we got this record trade surplus, $17.7 billion surplus in June, driven by very strong export values for iron ore and actually grains as well helped in there. And that's really helping the Australian economy hold up, better than expected. Coal and gas prices really helping there. But Mike, this is staggering statistic here. 70% of the total value of goods exported in Australia, iron ore, coal and LNG. So they really do get a lot out of what they dig up and get out of the ground. Now, that trade surplus highlights that tailwind that strong demand for hard commodities can bring to the Aussie economy. So Australian share market actually has been one of the most resilient in the world so far this year, so it has helped their shares out. Rio Tinto, interestingly enough, has already reported, and it wasn't a hugely promising start because they actually got a bit of a reduced profit, reduced their dividend payment, and they've got forward-looking concerns about the property sector in China and increasing cost pressures. Now, other concerns, these are the ones that are all too familiar to us. Labour supply challenges, can't get workers, inflation, and the impact of rate hikes on consumer behaviour. But, Mike, I will keep you in touch with the highlights over the next couple of weeks.
Good stuff. What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones is down slightly, down 88 points, about 0.25%, 32723. The S&P 500 is relatively unchanged at this point, 4153. And the NASDAQ is up a little bit, up 0.2%, 12,692. The FTSE 100 up 2, 7448. overnight. The Nikkei up 190 points, 27,932. The Shanghai Composite up 0.8%, 25 points, 3189. The Aussies yesterday lost 1.6974. The NZX 50 gained 30 points. 0.26%, 11,735. Kiwi dollar over the 63 cent mark against the US, 0.6303, 0.9037 Aussie, 0.6156 euro, 0.5182 pounds, 83.94 against the Japanese yen. Gold is trading at $1,791.52. And look at this. Something's going on in the oil market, Mike. Brent crude, $94.28. West Texas Intermediate, the WTI, it's under 90 bucks. Now, if that stays down there, that's going to take a real important factor out of the inflation picture.
All right, mate. Have a good weekend. Catch up next week. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.